day job, government contractor.
Government contractor, yeah. I do travel quite a bit. In the last year, I've been to Korea for a little bit. My job just sent me to Hawaii for a week, which is...
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yeah, Hawaii is not bad.
It's not.
Take that any day.
It's not. Good afternoon, and welcome to our Tan Talk family of affiliates. You are listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network live. We are live from Ferg Sparks Bar and Grill down here in beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. We've got some beautiful weather here today. We are located, if you've never been to Ferg's, at 13th Street and Central Avenue. We have some things that we are doing here today. Of course, it's College Game Day. And I'm just looking over because I'm getting ready in a few minutes to have my buddy Randy Grimes come on. And he's a former Baylor standout and current and former NFL player that played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it looks like Baylor right now is up 14-3 with Oklahoma State. And I'm seeing Kent State and North Illinois is up by 17 to zip, and the other Baylor game going on. But we'd already given you our college lineup, and I want to talk a little bit about one of our buds called Super Squares. Super Squares. If you haven't seen or heard about Super Squares, Super Squares, you can go on and get an app either on Google Play if you're an iPhone or a Droid. And I have to tell you, it is the world's first football game show that you put in the game. So it puts you right into the game, and you can get the free, and I keep reiterating, free Super Squares app from the Apple and Google Play stores. Register once and 10 pick the NFL games you plan on watching. Playing is as easy as 3-2-1 kickoff. Every Monday night, they give away some amazing gifts, including their Monday night football games where they're giving away paying off your mortgage for a year or two. So they have some questions that they ask about the brands that are in the app, and you get your first Super Square. You can match to your Super Square every quarter. So you're going to be playing this every quarter to earn more points and then be in the top 50 on Sunday. I have just gotten on to my Super Squares app a few days ago, and I'm looking for some other friends of mine to come on board because you can do a group thing and then you can all win. There's over 2 million up for grabs every weekend. It's the largest prize pool of any free play app or even TV game show in America. That's right, it's free, F-R-E-E. I keep reiterating, it's free because the brands that fund the massive prizes appreciate your attention while playing. So Super Squares pays millions, but all you pay is attention. You just pay attention to the to some of the commercials that are on there. All of their sponsors is kind of like The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. All of their prizes are sponsored by other sponsors, so there's no charge to you. And that is all about Super Squares. Also, reminder that we're doing the Ferg's 2-Minute Sports Update. And I just gave you that of what I can see right now with Baylor and Oklahoma State. And I'm getting ready to bring on my buddy, Randy Grimes. And Randy, we're going to be bringing you on here, buddy. Randy and I go way back. Randy played for the Tampa Bay Bucs for 9 years. And Randy's got some exciting things that are happening here in the Tampa Bay area. He's actually become one of my neighbors. And... we still haven't gotten together, though. How many months ago did you move there?
Since May.
Are we up and running?
Yeah, we are.
All right, good. Since May. And how is your beautiful wife, Lydia?
She's doing great. Thank you very much for asking.
Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you're doing. I know you're doing some really exciting things right now in some of the things that you are doing with your White Sands, with
right.
your athletes in recovery.
Uh-huh.
You've got a White Sands Christmas party coming up. I think there was a book in Tolt here that we want to talk about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot going on right now. And let's start with athletes in recovery. You know, I've talked to Mike before about that. And what that was is what it is 12 years ago when I came into treatment for addiction for opioids, I got addicted while I played with the Bucks. And September 22nd of 2009 is when I finally put my hand up and asked for help. But when I came into treatment, there was nothing out there for former players. No resources available for former NFL players. So, I wanted to make everything that I'd been through and all the hurt and devastation that I'd caused so many, I wanted to make that mean something,
Yeah.
And, so I started Athletes in Recovery. It serves as a bridge between former players that are out there that were doing the same thing I was doing, treating career-ending injuries with opioids.
And I can totally understand that because my husband also, former player Jeff Winans, also ended up with an opioid addiction as well. And, we've talked about it before in your program that you have, Athletes in Recovery. Let's talk a little bit about how you started that from your own addiction.
From my own addiction, that's right. And like I said, I wanted to have a bridge out there. I wanted guys, either for – they weren't raising their hands and asking for help, and usually it was because of pride, ego, guilt, and shame, but also because there was no resources available. So once I started sharing my story, I started working with the Player Care Foundation. These guys started coming out of the woodwork, and we were able to help hundreds and hundreds of guys over the last 12 years. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of the work that the Player Care Foundation does at the NFL and the work that we do at White Sands with these athletes.
Exactly. And how did you end up coming up to White Sands? Because when we first were chatting, you were back over in Palm Beach area with
right.
Athletes in Recovery over there. And how is that combining Athletes in Recovery with White Sands
right.
programs?
Right. And it was a great fit for White Sands. They're very sports-minded over there. They took to the athletes. They're very trauma-based as far as their therapists. And, it was just a perfect fit because a lot of the guys that I deal with, they have substance abuse issues and there's underlying mental health issues, but there's also a lot of transitional trauma. Because when you take a uniform away from, I know for me, you take my uniform away from me, you take my playbook away from me, you take that itinerary away from me, then I struggle to know who I am. And it wasn't until treatment in 2009, while I was in rehab, that I finally grieved the death of Randy Grimes, the football player. And I finally let that go. So, to have therapists that are trained in that, and it's not just athletes, it's first responders, it's veterans.
It is. It's a lot of our, just not, like you said, not athletes. That's a big part of it, but our first responders and police and firemen, our military right now are going through a lot as well. I understand as a spousal on the other side of also watching your man feel like he has no identity because literally your identity has been stolen and given to somebody else overnight. And when I started working with families and players, it was the family unit that really needed to understand all of that as well, while you, the player, went into your man cave and had time to grieve. And we weren't giving that to the players. We weren't giving them that time. Everybody was so, well, what are we going to do now? How are we going to pay the mortgage? What are we going to do next? And the next thing you're trying to do everything you can. Well, the easiest way to do it is to stay on the opioids.
But you're right. Families are not educated in this, and that's something else that Athletes in Recovery tries to do, try to work with the families. Educate them, let them know what's going on, how to handle it, how to draw boundaries. You know, boundaries are so important in addiction because we as addicts and alcoholics, the one thing we always understand is consequences.
Consequences, but when you're talking about boundaries, as a former professional athlete or as a collegiate athlete or high school athlete, you're already focused on discipline. And so when that discipline is all taken away, it's a free-for-all on what am I going to do next. And I think that's why you guys need so much time to be able to go in and regroup and figure out. But I think what I see a lot of times is that the family unit and other people are pushing you. Well, what are you going to do now? How are you going to do this? What are you going to do now? And you really haven't had any time to deal with the emotional side of what's happened. Now they're pushing you to go find another career to keep making money. And you haven't, you can't go there yet.
Yeah, and they don't know any better. You know,
they don't know any better.
It's a natural response. I'm like, okay, so what's next? And you know, I thought I was ready for the end to come, but I remember when Sam Rice put his hand on my shoulder and told me that, you know, my services wouldn't be needed anymore. I can remember just having this, I mean, wow, this is how it ends? You know, all the blood, sweat, and tears that I've left on football fields all over this country since fourth grade, and that's how it ends with a coach, that my fifth head coach in the pros, telling me that my services wouldn't be needed anymore. And, you know, I struggled over that for a long time.
It is, because most people forget, oh, well, how many years did you play? You played 9. My husband played 7. Oh, well, that's not very long. No, wait a minute. When you start at Pop Warner,
right.
So Jeff played 7 years in the pros, but he played 18 years of football. So it goes back to that identity crisis.
Right, and you identify so much that even your years run in season and off season. You know, it's not 4 seasons. You don't have 4 seasons or months. It's either in season or off season. And that's the way your brain is trained. You know, when's minicamp start? Well, that's spring. You know, and you know that you're going to be playing all the way through Christmas, you know. And that's how your whole family thinks. They're trained to think that way, too.
Exactly. And what do you think about the 17-week game now?
You know what? I think it's an okay concession to give up for the other benefits that they got out of the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll get an extra week off, too, so that's good. But, you know, considering everything that they got in the collective bargaining, the salaries that they're making now, you know, just the fact, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, you know, back when me and Jeff played, we played in an era where we beat the hell out of each other all week long.
That was something else I was just going to ask you about, because I remember Jeff even coming back from training camp and just being completely black and blue, because you have to learn how to take pain. And when you're off several months, you've got to regroup on that and refocus it all over again.
Right. And, you know, most of the injuries that I got while I played in the NFL were during practice. And it just blew my mind that mentality of, if you don't practice hard, you're not going to play hard. Whereas now, through all these different upgraded CBAs that they have, you know, they hardly ever put on pads.
I know.
And they have less injuries. They have longer careers.
Exactly. It is a whole different world today, and thank God. I know, you know, we've made a lot of positive changes since I got involved. I mean, I've been involved with football like you have over half our life, so... And being a spouse and a former athlete, not football, but in track and dancing, and I was a horsewoman for a while. But when you start thinking about what am I going to do next, I remember when Jeff first left, he had injuries which created depression, which created financial difficulties, which created a lot of family interference. So again, like what we talked about earlier, when you have all those things coming at you, the easiest thing to do is just keep self-medicating.
Right. And it's a lot of stress on the player. And, you know, we as players, we push ourselves and we put pressure on ourselves to probably get back on the field sooner than we should after an injury. But it's the same way with transitioning out of the league. We put pressure on ourselves to find a job or to find a new way to make a living or to reinvent ourselves. And it's just so hard.
So tell me how Athletes in Recovery got started. I know it was through a transitional period, but I know there was a little bit more to the story than that.
Well, I mean, it was, like I said, I wanted to make all this misery that I put everybody through mean something. And I knew that there was no resources out there for former players. So it just kind of developed into what it is now with the help of the Player Care Foundation and the Alumni Association, the Players Association, all the different groups that work with athletes in recovery, like the Jockeys Guild and the Motorsports Safety Group and the PGA, and just so many great organizations, the Baseball Assistance Team with MLB, NBA. So it just kind of turned into what it, but I want to make it clear that I help everybody.
Exactly. It's not just athletes, right. Hi, ladies. It's not just athletes. And, you know, what you have started and have taken to the next level now and being able to be involved here with White Sands as well, I just have to applaud and commend you, because being a spouse that lived through so much of it, I know with my husband, it was when he was finally, and you kept thinking he was down and out to the last one, and then it wasn't the last one, and then it was, and then all of a sudden he's re-rescued, and you know, I mean, it just went on and on and on until he had to make that decision that he was ready to make changes, and in the end, you're the only one that can make that decision. It's your choice in the end. You know, I see so many players that have lost everything, and we went through so much as well. But when you make that choice, and then it's even harder to keep that choice going.
Yeah, and for me, it was boundaries and consequences that finally made me put my hand up. You know, it's my daughter saying I couldn't come around my first grandchild. Losing everything.
Yep.
House, car, job, reputation, finances, everything. You know, it was my wife saying she couldn't live with me because, you know, she wasn't going to watch me slowly kill myself. It was health concerns. You know, I was having seizures as a result of withdrawal. So it was all those things that finally, and it's a shame that we had to come to that, you know, that put everybody through all that.
You know what, it is a shame, and I do have to say to your wife Lydia, we're a sisterhood that will never be broken, and I have so many other sisters, our former player NFL Wives Association, the different organizations that we have now on Facebook, our NFL Wives group, that we didn't have that until we started one in 2009 with Jane Arnett's group, and we started a little thing on Facebook called The Huddle, and now we've got, I'm so proud of all the women that have come forward and were able to talk about it, because before it was an unknown, you didn't talk about it because you wanted to make sure that when your husband or boyfriend walked out that front door that they were well known in the community, and all the things that were going on behind closed doors stayed behind closed doors, because sometimes all your husband had left was that integrity of walking out that front door and not feeling any shame.
And you know, that's the stigma we still battle today. You know, that's why as many of us that want to get out there and speak about our experience, strength, and hope, you know, and we share the message, trying to tear down the stigma that keeps people from putting their hand up and asking for help. And, you know, addiction happens to anybody. It happens to good people.
Absolutely.
But I want people to know that there's hope and there's help out there, and you don't have to live like this way.
So Athletes in Recovery is now, you can... How would we contact you? Do we go through White Sands, or do we contact you direct?
You can go through White Sands, but I also have a website. It's called proathletesinrecovery.org. You can go there. You can go to randygrimesspeaks.com.
We can Google Randy Grimes and just...
And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, SoberCenter60, Instagram, and all that stuff. But also, hey, I have a Christmas party. It's an open house holiday party, December the 10th, which is next Friday, at Plant City, at the White Sands location. It's in our event center in the back there, and it's 2011 North Wheeler in Plant City.
It's a great facility. I had run into a gentleman last year through some other friends of mine that introduced me. Steve Segal and Joni introduced me to Duke Rumley. And he had an organization called Safer, and we hooked you guys up and
had the
Super Bowl party. And right. I was only able to do Zoom because I actually had been able to be blessed to go to Super Bowls, so I couldn't pass that up. But I saw the videos after.
Yeah, we had a good time. Miss America was there, and that was a huge event. I'm grateful to Duke for bringing that to us. And also, Ken, before I have to get off, can I talk about the book?
Yes.
Off Center, the book is, and what I'm so proud about with this book is that it was a healing process for my family. Everybody in the family, my children, my parents, my brother, sister, friends, everybody had a platform in this book. And it was a huge healing process for everybody to just kind of get that out, you know, to share it and move past it. And whether it sells a copy or not, I could care less now that I've seen what it's done for everybody involved with my addiction.
It doesn't matter if it sells or not, because it will sell. It will be a bestseller, I can tell you right now. But the important part is that you got all those emotions, all those feelings out, and your family came and surrounded you, and you have a beautiful family. I've met your family and your daughters and at another event that we were doing with Athletes in Recovery. A gorgeous family. And now, are they out of Texas?
Texas, yeah.
Texas,
my daughter and her children live in Houston.
Yep.
Of course, Libby is here with me. And I have a son that lives in Rwanda. He works for a company called Ampersand, which is an electric motorcycle company in Rwanda.
Awesome.
I don't get to see him very often, obviously.
Well, the open house party.
Yes.
So how do people get involved in that? So it's open house?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
literally
just literally show up.
Just literally show up.
And let me know that you're there. I want to meet everybody again. 2011 North Wheeler in Plant City at the White Sands Treatment Center. And come see what we're all about. Come see what White Sands is nonprofit's all about, called KO Addiction. We have a boxing ring in the back there. That's
yep.
Where all this is going to be. We're so proud of it. I'm so proud of what Athletes in Recovery is going to be able to do.
You are listening right now to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tantalk family of stations. I'm talking right now with my good friend, former standout Baylor, which we haven't talked about yet, and it looks like Baylor is Baylor's up 21-3, and former NFL player with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a very well-loved person here in the Tampa Bay area. And we're talking about some of the things that he's doing right now, his organization called Athletes in Recovery. He has founded that after having his own opioid addiction and overcame it, praise God. And now he's working with other families and players, and not just athletes, but anybody who needs help, who is recovering from any kind of opioid addiction. And again, I understand that because I was the wife of a former player who also was experiencing and unfortunately dealing with that after leaving the game. And the transitioning, as we talked about, is really vital when you're leaving
thing.
The game.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The book, where can we find the book?
Well, it's going to be released Super Bowl week, which is February the 7th, out in Los Angeles. But if you want to pre-order, you can go to my website at proathletesinrecovery.org, and there's a page set up there for pre-order. But I'm really excited about it. It's at final editing right now.
Well, I better get an autographed copy. I better get one. I also want to give a shout out to our alliance with some of our other organizations that we work with: Florida Rising Stars, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, our NFL alumni Tampa Bay chapter, which I'm a part of, our Clearwater St. Pete Sports and Events, and the Ted Williams Foundation, looking forward to expanding our presence with each of these organizations. Also, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame enshrinement class of 2020 to 2021. Hi, Alex. Took place in November, and the inductees were Al Leiter, Roberto Luongo, Dwight Stevenson, Ed Reed, Alonso Mourning, Bill Diaz in Doral, and it took place down in Doral. Also want to give a shout out to our beautiful printer, Rick Herbert, with Ace High Printing. He is our official printer of the St. Pete Tampa Sports Connection Radio on our beautiful St. Pete Sunshine 96.7 FM. If you need a good printer, give Rick a call today at 727-542-3897. 727-542-3897. Also want to give a shout out to Concrete Fusion. Concrete has launched a Florida team here, and they can repair concrete like no other using a new revolutionary two-part solvent-based mix that fuses into concrete that creates a bond stronger than the original. The beauty of this is they don't tear up your parking, your lot, your driveway, or your sidewalk, or create a lengthy downtime. So give them a call. I know the team and the company. Mike knows them from Iowa. Concrete Fusion Florida, concretefusionfl.com. Call 941-587-2724, 941-587-2724, and tell them that Mike sent you from Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm on right now again with Baylor standout and former NFL player Randy Grimes.
Sick'em Bears.
Woo! Love it. Love it, love it. And your team right now. Tell me a little bit about your Baylor time there.
Oh, my gosh. Those were the best years of my life, you know, playing for Grant Taft. And, you know, in 79, my freshman year, we won the Peach Bowl. We went out to Atlanta and played in the Peach Bowl. And then the next year in 80, we had a one-loss season. We won the Southwest Conference, played Alabama in the Cotton Bowl, got crushed. But we were the Southwest Conference champions. And that was back before, obviously, it was the Big 12. But those were the greatest days. And I played with such great players, guys that went off and, you know, Mike Singletary, a Hall of Famer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of guys that played, had long careers in the NFL. And best days of my life. I just went back last weekend, watched the Texas Tech game. And
I saw you guys on
Facebook. It was so cool. It was so cool being with guys that I played with. That was 41 years ago. Good gosh.
What?
Yes. 80? Yeah.
God. Oh, my God.
I know it.
God.
I know.
God. Wow. So any big plans for December besides your White Sands open party and trying to get this book out?
Just those two. That's enough, you know, and waiting on Santa, of course.
Of course. We got to wait on Santa.
And I'll head back to Texas and be with my family probably sometime in the middle of December and spend the holidays out there. But, you know, Christmas in Florida is awesome. I'm a Texas boy, but I love Florida, and I love Christmas in Florida.
I love Christmas in Florida, too. It's nice to get away. When I was in California and Southern Cal and Santa Monica, it was nice to go up to Tahoe, go to Colorado, you know, stay in the cold for a week or two,
right,
and then come home.
Right. There's something about a palm tree with Christmas lights on it.
But you know what? We do. I love the St. Pete area. I grew up on St. Pete Beach. My dad read the Thunderbird on Treasure Island after he got out of the Marine Corps and we moved back from Cali. And then, you know, I had the bug here because St. Petersburg has grown a lot.
Oh, I bet.
Okay. So when we first moved here, it was known as the newlywed or the nearly dead. And at Williams Park downtown, they used to say you couldn't get on a park bench at 5:30 in the morning for all the old fogies. So when I first left and went out of high school, I went right back to Venice and Santa Monica area to try to, you know, come on to what I wanted to do in life, which was acting and dancing and so forth. And it's always nice to come home. We started making a family here. Jeff was funny when he first left football because he's a California boy, and he's like, oh, you're going to bring me back to this hellhole? And I said, honey, just think about this. You won't be suited up in polyester in August right. with shoulder pads and helmets.
Right, right.
Sweating.
Well, we used to come down here on our Tuesday day offs. You know, I lived up in North Tampa when I played here. And
yeah.
So all the 80s and early 90s, we would always come down to the Don Cesar and hang out there every Tuesday. That was our spot to come to. And the kids loved it. And I feel like I raised my kids down here in St. Pete because, you know, this is during the season. You didn't have much time with your family. But all those Tuesdays, you know.
All those Tuesdays.
I spent on St. Pete Beach.
Yep, and I was in Clearwater, living in Clearwater when I met Jeff, and he was he had a house in Hyde Park, and but yeah, there was a
fancy
place,
pants.
There was a place called Molly Maguire's that some of Jeff's buddies from Buffalo owned this place up there, and the Maguire brothers had moved down here and opened up this place called Molly Maguire's. And so on the days off that he would have, or any time he could get away, he would be over at Molly Maguire's, and that's how we ended up meeting one of the girls that when I had a short marriage. Jeff had a short marriage for a couple of years, and I had a young gal at the Breakers. I rented an apartment on the water there on the Breakers because I had opened up a boutique at the Clearwater Mall. And that's how we met. Patty goes one night, oh, let's go to this place called Molly Maguire's. And drinking here at that time was 18. And I was like, 18-year-old going into a little Molly, it sounds like a little place of a teeny bopper place. You know, I'm like in my 20s now. I'm real old. And so, yeah, went there. And there was Jeff sitting at the bar, not a soul in there at 8 o'clock at night. And
wow.
The bartenders and two people. And Jeff was sitting there. And she came over and introduced me. And that was the end of that.
The rest is history, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We were good buds for about 6 months, but I kind of knew at that time that I had a very strong attraction to him, and that meant I had to stay away because I was, you know, it just not going to jump back into something
right.
else. But
well, moving back over here from West Palm Beach, you know, even though we spent, you know, 10, 11 years out here with our families, it's changed so much.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's changed a lot, but then again, it hasn't.
Right.
You know, and driving up Del Mabry and all the different hot spots that we used to go to back in.
Oh my God, Victoria Station. I'm just trying to think. Victoria Station was after the Bucks games. That was the go-to
right,
place
right.
in the back room.
Yeah. Right. Or the new Hooters right there.
Right. Exactly.
Hooters was brand new then.
Hooters
you know?
Was brand new then. Thank you, Bob Passwater
right.
and the Motley crew from Hooters. And still going strong. Well, Randy, I want to thank you so much.
Oh my gosh,
coming
thank
on today.
You, thank
and,
you for having me.
I'll try to make it out next week on Friday and aggravate you there at the open house.
I hope so. I look forward to seeing you.
I can't wait to get a copy of the new book, and the new book is called
Off Center.
Off Center and Athletes in Recovery.
That's right. And the website is proathletesinrecovery.org. Or randygrimespeaks.com. Get in touch with me there or on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter at SoberCenter60.
Beautiful. And we'll have to get together with Lydia for some Christmas cheer.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Thank you.
Have a blessed one. Michael is going to come back in and help me finish out the rest of the segment. And I just want to give another shout out. If you have any interviews or stories or unique individuals or anything that you think might generate positive energy, we'd love to hear from you.
Weird.
I'd love to hear from you. Mike would love to hear from you, from anyone in the community that has stories, events, or individuals that they'd like us to recognize. You know, we go from the peewees to the pros. So we've been dealing with Boca Ciega, my alma mater, and their football team, and now we're going to be dealing with their up-and-coming baseball team and having them coming out and doing some of their games. But St. Pete Sports Connection, you know, just come out. Share a story. Come down and wave us on here live at Ferg's every Saturday from 12 to 2 o'clock. And or just you know, just log on to stpetesportsconnection.com as we expand our reach into the organization as individuals making a positive impact in St. Pete, from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And it was great to see Randy here, and nice to meet Michael. And let's talk a little bit more about what do you think about the future of baseball here?
Wow.
While we got a few minutes.
We have only a few minutes?
We only have a few minutes.
Because that's, wow, that is a loaded question. You know, right now, and I've written quite a bit about this. So if you Google my name, Michael Lortz, and Tampa Bay Rays, you'll find a lot of my writing about the Rays. And that's what attracted Mike to me. And one of the first things, he's like, I need this guy on here to talk about the Rays and this whole dilemma of Sister City. So the Rays have, as you probably know, the Rays have tossed around the idea of playing half the season in Montreal.
Yeah.
The bottom line with Tropicana Field, and we've all been to Tropicana Field, we've seen games there, everything. It's not the best Major League Baseball stadium.
But it's covered.
It is covered.
Praise God.
That's the one thing that the Rays need, is they need a dome. It rains here every day from June to August. We need a retractable dome, would be nice. Because
yes,
it is nice in April and May when it starts to cool down. Even in the low 80s, it's tolerable to stand outside for a baseball game.
Yeah.
You start getting above 85, 88 degrees, and it starts to get too uncomfortable. And then 90s, forget about it. If you're in the 90s, you know, if it's 90 degrees and above at 8 o'clock at night, forget about it. And then, of course, that brings rain and everything. So we do need a retractable dome. Well, the Rays are presenting the Sister City idea that they'll go play in Montreal in July, August, and September, and then maybe we'll get some playoff games. The problem with the idea has so many hurdles, and they're trying to sell it. So I like to say that the Sister City idea is okay in a business school idea with a bunch of whiteboards and a bunch of students just brainstorming. It does not pass the social reality test. Like, and not socialism like social media, but it doesn't pass reality as in how fans are really going to interpret it. It does make sense if I were to put it on a whiteboard in a classroom and we were to be like, oh, hey, there's a market over here. We can make money over here and make money over here. If you have real people making real life decisions, it's not going to work. And the Rays have said that fans will get over it. Fans will get over the fact that we're moving for half the season. They'll still show up.
Yeah.
And they'll show up in that short amount of time that we are in Tampa Bay. And I don't agree with that, because we won't have a pennant race here. We'll have the early games. We won't have a pennant race here. Sorry, I was distracted. We won't have pennant races here. We won't have meaningful baseball in the fall. And the Rays are like, well, you can watch it on TV. You watch it on TV all of 2020. And I'm like, that's using a pandemic against us. Like, why are you throwing that in our face? We would have been here. We couldn't because everybody closed. I mean, like, what were we supposed to do? Still smuggle ourselves into the stadium?
Right.
That's an extenuating circumstance. You can't throw that in our face. And the honest truth is, like, if I can only watch the Gate Rays on TV, I'm going to go to a Clearwater Threshers game. I'm going to go to a Tampa Yankees or Tampa Tarpons game. I'm going to some of the minor leagues.
They built a great stadium there.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I was up there for the Clearwater Jazz Festival, which was kind of interesting because it was the first time we've ever done that in a stadium, stadium. But they did an awesome job. I hadn't been, and I was so impressed.
Yeah, the Threshers have actually draw pretty well for a minor league team in Florida. They're like the most highest drawing team in Florida, like minor league team, more than any of the other ones. They do a great job with their mascot. It was always like one of the best in the business. And they just do a great job with promotions and fireworks and all sorts of fun stuff at the Threshers game. And it's weird, though, because it's a totally different experience. It's not a Major League Baseball experience. It's a great minor league baseball experience. But they're 20 minutes away from Tropicana Field and the Rays. Like, how much is that kind of hurting the Rays' overall ability to make money?
What do you think about the overall situation where trying to get more of Hillsborough County and Pasco County coming down to do a game? People go, oh, we need to be more centralized.
They do. They do, 100%. They need to be more centralized. I've always said for the Rays to be competitive here in Tampa Bay, and they did for a small market, and we are a small to medium-sized market. We're not New York City. We're not Chicago.
Right.
There needs to be a hub. It needs to be centered amongst the population where people can come in the radius. Tropicana Field is closer to water than it should be. Like, it should be a lot closer. I prefer, I really like the Gandy Dog Track, which is still in Pinellas County.
There's been talk about, you know, that's been going on for the last couple of years, about the talk about maybe moving over there. I know, you know, my buddy Richard Winning, that you know, his whole family had owned that facility, you know, forever.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I think they're still doing, you know, dog racing stopped there. That was banned, but they're still doing poker and things there.
Yep.
You know, if I was the Rays, I'd be talking to Richard Winning about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess in the latest article I saw, when they actually asked about it, he had said that the Rays just stopped talking to him. Just were like, no, we're focusing on Ybor City. And my one drawback with that location, and that location there at the Gandy Dog Track.
Ybor City, to me, is too congested.
Ybor City has, no matter where the Rays are, there is a lot of positives and negatives.
But
there's
the
positives.
The Carillon area is really like a triangle.
Right.
You know, it's like a triangle. But
so I heard that somebody had bought that. Like, so the Rays had talked about that like 2010 or 12 or so.
I think Topgolf is going in there
okay,
now.
Okay, yep. And that's what the big problem with the Rays are taking so long in this. All the prime real estate in Tampa is getting gobbled up.
Yeah.
And right now with Ybor, they're like, well, we can fit a small stadium in there because they know the real estate developers and everything. And they're already having talks with the real estate developers. But the problem with Ybor is, like you said, congestion. They want a small stadium. It's a smaller footprint. Well, the problem with a small footprint is you're never going to get an all-star game. Playoff games are going to sell out if we have playoff games. They're going to go to Montreal to play games as well. Because they're not going to be able to make as much money.
What do you think about the split situation?
And it's horrible. Like I said, it doesn't pass the reality test.
Yeah.
If I had it in a classroom and I'm, you know, we're experimenting, we're throwing ideas up on a whiteboard, and I've got students, cool. It's great in a lab. It's
right.
Not going to pass reality because they need the Rays. And I talked about this before, how owners are notoriously cheap. Major League Baseball owners are billionaires, and they want to maximize their investment in sports and the entertainment of sports.
Right.
So, and it's how much money are they willing to put into the team to maximize for revenue and everything like that. Stu Sternberg is cheap. Like, that's the bottom line, is he's cheap. And the Rays front office and the folks that are employed by the Tampa Bay Rays are doing the best they can to put out a winning product, to make it a fun environment for the stadium, or for people, fans, and everything like that. And
they've made a lot of positive changes. And, you know, I think about Steinbrenner and all of the different it's always fun to see when spring training starts up because we have so many teams that come here in our area.
Yep.
To be able to get an opportunity to go watch that you don't usually get an opportunity to watch.
Well, I will take the flip approach on that. I actually think spring training is bad for the Tampa Bay Rays. Because if two-thirds of the fans that go to spring training are tourists, that means one-third of them are locals. And if one-third of those fans are locals, they're giving their money to the Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees, Pittsburgh Pirates, Phillies, Detroit Tigers, and stuff like that. That's local money on baseball that the Rays are not making. And a dollar lost in February is a dollar they can't make back in April and May.
Why do you think they moved their training camp?
Who, the Rays?
Yeah.
The Rays play, yeah, because the Rays used to be at Al Lang Stadium.
Right, and then we were at Azalea area, and
then the Rays moved down
away.
They moved to Port Charlotte.
Right.
And I always thought Port Charlotte was a mistake.
Well, that's where the Rangers used to be at
right.
one time, right?
Yeah. Well, they found a stadium, an unused stadium, cheap.
Right.
And I think that's really, at that point in time, it was 2007, 2008,
right.
where the Rays moved. They didn't realize that they were going to be good,
right.
you know. So I think they found a stadium cheap. I think the best place for the Rays in spring training is Orlando.
You know, that's not a bad thought.
The problem with Orlando is nobody else trains in Orlando, and you've got to get all the players on a bus,
yeah.
and you've got to drive hours to Tampa Bay or Sarasota or Fort Myers or wherever. And you don't want to be the only team in an area. You want two or three spring training
teams in a hub. I mean, look at the teams that we have right here in the Pinellas County, Hillsborough area. It's
right.
amazing. So you do have a nice variety.
Yep.
Mike, I want to thank you so much for partnering with me today.
Always a pleasure.
I want to give you a little shout out again about your up and coming, the books that you've got on the market right now.
Sure, sure. So the book Curveball at the Crossroads is the acclaimed. I don't want to say it hasn't won any awards yet, so I'll say acclaimed. It is an acclaimed baseball sports fiction book. And it is second edition is available everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, wherever you can order a book. Your local bookstore, yeah, please do check it out. Curveball at the Crossroads. And we're having a book release party in Ybor City here soon.
When is that?
That is December 20th at an Irish pub in Ybor City. I want to have book release parties on either side of the bay.
Good.
Got to make it convenient, just
right.
like we talked about with baseball.
And how do we reach you, Michael?
So I'm curveballatthecrossroads.com.
Okay.
That's the name of the book and the website. I am on all sorts of social medias. Jordy Scrubbings is the Twitter. Michael, just Google Michael Lortz. That's my name. Or
Curveballatthecrossroads.
L-O-R-T-Z. Or curveballatthecrossroads.com.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, one thing I forgot to ask
what,
you about.
What?
You have a pickleball event.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't talk about that, did we?
No, but we got about 4 minutes to talk about it.
Oh,
I wanted to get you back on because, you know, we had the Billy McGee's World of Pickleball here on 9/11.
That's what I heard. Well, this event, it's going to be during the APP Tour, which is at Delray Beach Tennis Center. It is March the 15th through the 20th, but our fundraiser for Pro Athletes in Recovery is March the 18th. And it's going to be a celebrity pickleball tournament, classic, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to have tons of fun. APP, the tour, is going to be part of it. CBS Sports is going to be part of it. So we are really – and this just really fell in our lap, you know. It used to be the Chris Everett celebrity tennis tournament.
Right.
And she's not going to do it anymore, so they asked – Athletes in Recovery, Delray Beach asked Athletes in Recovery to come in and do something. So we decided to do pickleball. And then just this last week, this thing with the APP Tour fell in our lap. So we are, you know, everything's happening like crazy, and it's just falling in our laps, and we're just so grateful because this is our first big fundraiser.
Well, maybe I'll put you in touch with Billy McGee, too, because we had at our pickleball here, we had Kyle Yates, we had Stephanie Lane, we ended up with all of the major pickleball. I did not play in this one.
But do you play?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Listen, you and Lydia got to get together. Yeah.
I started playing in California.
Stop it.
Yes, it's 56 years old.
How long ago was that?
Too many years.
Well, you know, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America. And
it is.
I didn't realize it had been around as long as it had.
It is. And 56 years, and we started playing it, and we used a dead-end tennis ball and a smaller court out in Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Venice, and we called it paddle tennis.
Lack of a better name. But okay, so you're one of the forefathers then of pickleball.
One of the forefathers. Now we're using a wiffle ball.
And actually have rules, right?
So, yeah, that will be March 18th, Athletes in Recovery, pickleball.
Delray Beach Tennis Center in Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay. You'll have to keep me up to date.
Yes.
We'll talk more about that. We'll have you back on the show and talk more about
that
as well. And also give Lydia my best too. Yeah, I didn't know that she played. You know, I've got my paddles out now. I'm a little rusty, but I'm gonna get my knees working again and my hips working again.
Yeah, and I think she's looking for even some lessons too. And there's plenty of opportunities around where we live, as you know.
Well, there are, and you know, actually, I have a tennis court at my little complex. on Tierra Verde at Palms of Tierra. And we have more tennis courts on Tierra Verde. And I know Isla has a number of tennis courts as well.
Right, right.
And, yeah.
So, it takes away all our excuses not to get involved, right?
Exactly. Randy, thanks
again. Thank you very much.
We'll keep that in mind. For Randy Grimes, Michael Lortz, DJ Madman Mac, Joe Boudreaux, and Big Ed, thanks so much. On the controls, I'm Brandi Winans. Thanking you for listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a fabulous week. God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship weekend.
Hear us on the air, on Alexa, and on our Radio St. Pete mobile apps.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.